As Jesus called his disciples, hear God's call to you in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, on page 1233 in our pew Bibles. Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, teaching the people as they crowded around him to hear God's message. Near the shore, he saw two boats left there by some fishermen who had gone to wash their nets. Jesus got into the boat that belonged to Simon and asked him to row it out a little way from the shore. Then Jesus sat down in the boat to teach the crowd. When Jesus had finished speaking, he told Simon, "Row the boat out into the deep water and let your nets down to catch some fish." "Master," Simon answered, "we have worked hard all night long and have not caught a thing. But if you tell me to, I will let the nets down." They did it and caught so many fish that their nets began ripping apart. Then they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. The men came, and together they filled the two boats so full that they both began to sink. When Peter Simon saw this happen, he knelt down in front of Jesus and said, "Lord, don't come near me. I am a sinner." Peter and everyone with him were completely surprised at all the fish they had caught. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were surprised too. And Jesus told Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will bring in people instead of fish." The men pulled their boats up to the shore. Then they left everything and went with Jesus.
And let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, teaching the people as they crowded around him to hear God's message. Near the shore, he saw two boats left there by some fishermen who had gone to wash their nets. Jesus got into the boat that belonged to Simon and asked him to row it out a little way from the shore. Then Jesus sat down in the boat to teach the crowd. When Jesus had finished speaking, he told Simon, "Row the boat out into the deep water and let your nets down to catch some fish." "Master," Simon answered, "we have worked hard all night long and have not caught a thing. But if you tell me to, I will let the nets down." They did it and caught so many fish that their nets began ripping apart. Then they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. The men came, and together they filled the two boats so full that they both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this happening, he knelt down in front of Jesus and said, "Lord, don't come near me. I am a sinner." Peter and everyone with him were completely surprised at all the fish they had caught. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were surprised too. Jesus told Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will bring in people instead of fish." The men pulled their boats up on the shore. Then they left everything and went with Jesus. The men pulled their boats up on the shore. Then they left everything and went with Jesus. At a preaching conference I attended several years ago, one of the presenters, a professor at a United Methodist seminary in Atlanta, said this: "When I listen to a sermon, I want to know that the scripture did something to the preacher. I want to know how it affected you, how it challenged you, how it continues to gnaw at you. I want to know what the scripture reading did to you." That piece of advice comes back to me time and time again as I prepare sermons. When I listen to a sermon, I want to know what the scripture reading did to the preacher. Well, you want to know what today's scripture reading does to this preacher? It makes me feel inadequate as a disciple of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, that is what this reading does to me. It makes me feel inadequate. And I don't know about you all, but I don't enjoy feeling inadequate. As a human being in this culture, I feel inadequate about plenty of things much of the time as it is. My weight, my looks, my skills and abilities, my professional success as compared to my peers, etc. And I suspect I am not alone in these very kinds of feelings. We live in a culture of comparisons, of keeping up with the Joneses, however you interpret that for yourself. Many of us don't need help finding ways to feel inadequate. So I don't love it when I encounter sections of God's holy word that cause me to feel that way. But Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, is one such section of God's holy word. Jesus told Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will bring in people instead of fish." So the men pulled their boats up on the shore, then they left everything and went with Jesus. They left everything in order to go with Jesus. I haven't done that. I have plenty of stuff, physical, emotional, and spiritual stuff that continues to go with me as I journey down my own path of discipleship. Some of that stuff is helpful to me on my journey, while much of it is not. I have most definitely not left everything in order to go with Jesus. And so this passage of scripture inspires in me feelings of inadequacy. Well, at least the last line of it does. The rest of the story is actually quite inspiring. And in fact, that fateful last line, the line about Simon Peter, James, and John leaving everything in order to follow Jesus, well, that line doesn't make any sense unless you've paid close attention to the story that precedes it. I was away from the pulpit the last two weekends, and as I prepared to write this sermon, I listened to the two sermons that were preached in my absence, and I was so grateful I took the time to do that. They were inspiring messages that left me feeling blessed by God's love and challenged to deepen my response to that love. Two weekends ago, one of our lay members who you just met up here with the leadership team, Chris Chase, preached on Jesus' parable of the pearl of great price, the story Jesus told in the Gospel of Matthew about how God's kingdom is like a merchant who found one pearl of great price, sold everything he owned, and bought that one pearl. In his message on these verses, Chris shared how God is like the merchant and Jesus like the pearl. In order to bring ultimate love and salvation to the world, God gave us Jesus to teach us, to offer ultimate sacrifice, and to be resurrected that we might have eternal hope. Jesus is God's pearl of great price. And God gave us Jesus because we too are pearls of great price, worthy of God's love, worthy of salvation, and of utmost value to God. What a powerful reminder. Then last weekend, our district superintendent, Reverend Keith Nelson, preached a sermon on Luke 4, 14 through 21. In that passage, Jesus shares his mission statement with those in his home synagogue in Nazareth, a mission statement based on words from the prophet Isaiah, words about a Messiah who would come to bring healing to our broken world. In his sermon on this passage, Keith challenged us with the reminder that all who claim to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, all of us, have signed on to this same mission. This mission of bringing healing to our broken world. That's why we Christians are here on earth, to respond to God's loving, merciful work in our lives by offering love and mercy to others. I so appreciated both of those sermons as I listened to them this past week. I appreciated their messages generally, but I also appreciated the way each of them served to prepare the way for today's scripture reading and sermon. I listened to Chris's and Keith's sermons and found myself thinking how perfect their words were in relation to Luke 5 and in relation to the sermon God was preparing for me to preach this weekend. See, the message of Luke 5, 1 through 11 this message of leaving everything in order to follow Jesus. Well, it doesn't make sense if we don't already understand what both Chris and Keith shared here at McCabe these last two weekends. The message of leaving everything in order to follow Jesus only makes sense if we first understand two very important things. One, that we are each of us deeply loved and of utmost value to God. And two, being deeply loved and valued by God should inspire us to join Jesus' mission of healing our broken world. That's what discipleship is all about. It's what today's reading from Luke 5 is all about. So back to the story in today's reading. Simon Peter, as well as James and John, had surely heard about Jesus. News of Jesus' teachings and healings had spread through the region. So when Jesus arrived at Lake Gennesaret that day to teach, he must have been somewhat familiar to those three fishermen, at least in name and by reputation. A crowd had gathered, so Jesus did some teaching from one of their fishing boats. Then after he was done teaching, he told Simon Peter to row his boat out into deep water and to let his nets into the water in order to catch some fish. In that moment, I imagine Simon breathed a deep sigh and inwardly rolled his eyes at Jesus, this carpenter teacher who was suddenly telling him how to do his job. "Master," Simon said to Jesus, "we worked that water all night and caught nothing. But okay, I'll give it one more shot." Perhaps Simon Peter was simply being courteous, obliging Jesus when he followed Jesus' request to cast his nets once more into the deep water. Or perhaps he had heard something when Jesus was teaching. Perhaps his mind and heart had been opened to the possibility of something incredible. Simon Peter was exhausted from a night of unsuccessful fishing. And don't many of us understand that kind of exhaustion? The exhaustion of feeling like you've done everything you should be doing but just aren't getting the results you want and need. Simon Peter was exhausted, but he allowed himself to be open to the possibility that Jesus had something incredible in store for him. And Jesus did, in fact, have something incredible in store for him. Because it wasn't very long before there were so many fish in his net that Peter couldn't handle it on his own. He had to call his partners, James and John, to come out and help. In the end, there were so many fish that both fishing boats began to sink under the weight. And all that after a night during which they had caught nothing. Has Jesus ever worked a miracle like that in your life? Jesus had taken their exhaustion and had transformed it into something incredible and abundant. As the fish kept coming in, all three men, Simon Peter, James, and John, were drawn to Jesus in a life-altering way. And when Jesus told them that from then on they'd be bringing in people instead of fish, they left everything to follow him. Can you imagine? They had just had what was surely the best catch of their entire careers, and they promptly left it all behind in order to follow Jesus. They left behind what was familiar, the career they knew, and the families they surely held dear. They left it all behind in order to go with Jesus, because Jesus had called them. He wanted them. He'd made a miracle happen for them, and they were deeply grateful. Shouldn't we all be so inspired by the miracles Jesus works in our lives? Those miracles, big and small, wherein we just know God showed up when we most needed it. The men pulled their boats up on the shore. Then they left everything and went with Jesus. It's true that the last line of this scripture reading causes me to feel inadequate as a disciple of Jesus. But the story that precedes the last line inspires me and gives me hope. It gives me hope because I know God has worked unique miracles in my life too. Miracles that have inspired and that continue to inspire me to grow in my own discipleship. As it happens, here at McCabe, we are fortunate this summer to be welcoming onto our staff our first ever discipleship pastor. We are hoping to be ready to confirm and to announce who this person will be within the next month or so. It's important for us to be aware that the vast majority of our discipleship pastor's time will be spent in just this very thing, helping us to grow in our discipleship as individuals and as a congregation, in all sorts of ways we may be imagining already and in all sorts of ways we may not yet have imagined. It's very exciting, but it's also a bit scary because growing in our discipleship is always, always about leaving behind many things we hold dear in order to more faithfully follow our Lord and Savior. Many of you are aware that 2 weeks ago, I began a new chapter in life as I married my beloved, Derek Orr, here in McCabe's sanctuary. Those of you who are or who have been married truly understand what a significant shift it is when you move from singleness into marriage, and I am just beginning to understand that shift myself. Marriage is about making room for someone else in your life and world. It's about understanding that your way isn't always the best way for your household. Marriage is learning what pieces of yourself and your single life are worth keeping and what needs to be left behind in order to grow into something new together. At a purely logistical level, Derek and I have had to sort through the stuff needing to be left behind in order to make room for each other in our home. But making room for a spouse is so much more than making space in a home, as important as that is. Among other things, for me, it's also about learning how to accept someone else's sleep and work schedules. It's about opening my heart to new people, new friends, new family. It's about sacrificing much of my blessed me time in favor of us time. It's about realizing I don't always get what I want for dinner. Each of these things, small and not so small, represents a leaving behind of sorts. Leaving behind pieces of a life that was primarily about me, what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And it all could feel like miserable sacrifice if I didn't wholeheartedly love the person with whom I'm now sharing this life, and if I didn't trust that he wholeheartedly loves me. In a similar way, the same is true when it comes to our own discipleship, when it comes to our path of following Jesus. We make sacrifices of time, energy, money. We leave behind hurts and judgments that hold us back from growing in our love of God. In order to grow in our love of God and in our faithfulness to Jesus Christ, we leave all sorts of things behind. It's not always easy or simple. The good news of today's reading is that our Lord and Savior works miracles of abundance in our lives, miracles of God showing up when we most need it. Our miracles may not look exactly like two boats full of fish after a night full of nothing, but they are miracles all the same. The challenge of this good news is that responding to it requires us to leave behind that which holds us back that which holds us back from following Jesus more closely, more fully. Perhaps you need to leave behind activities or purchases or experiences that could free up resources so you can be more generous with money or time and service. Perhaps you need to leave behind judgmental attitudes about who does and does not deserve God's mercy and love. Perhaps you need to leave behind grudges you've nursed so your mind and heart are more receptive to God's Spirit. Perhaps you need to leave behind fears about what the future might hold if you open yourself more fully to God's guidance. I don't know what you need to leave behind, but I offer those as examples because those are the things I struggle with. And it's hard to leave behind things and attitudes you've nurtured over time. It's hard, but God's grace is so big. And Jesus has so many miracles waiting for us. We just won't get to experience them as fully as possible if we're dragging around too much extra stuff. Jesus blessed his first disciples with a miracle, and they left everything behind in order to follow him. May we notice the miracles Jesus works for us and others. May we be so inspired by those miracles that we choose to follow Jesus ever more closely. And as we do so, may we leave behind us a trail of unnecessary stuff. Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, you love us so much and you know our hearts and minds. Remind us of the miracles you've worked for us when we needed them most. Remind us of the miracles we've seen you work for others. Send your Spirit to draw us ever closer to you and to your Son, our Savior, Jesus. May we have the courage and strength to leave behind that which keeps us from growing in our love of you and in our call to help heal your broken world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.